everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening. It's 8:32 p.m., and it's January 7, 2006. During our broadcast, you may reach us via our telephone number that is indicated on... If you're listening in from your Blog Talk Radio, just dial the number that's indicated on the screen. Or you can call us, and it'll reach us directly from AOL Instant Messenger, 903-551-2186. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. This station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad. Folks, we must take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving government strips us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now, on to our program. Good evening, everyone. This is the first time that we'll be broadcasting not only on the platform of our streaming internet radio, but also on a blog talk radio. So excuse my confusion, because I'm looking at twice as many screens as I did before, and I have to make certain that they're all working properly. And I'm not even sure that's happening right now, quite frankly. This evening's broadcast, we wanted to extend the discussion we had last Thursday morning regarding the definition of liberty. Herein lies our problem, in that we not only take liberty or our freedom or individual rights, and although all three of those are have slightly different definitions, that, you know, our rights that we are, our inalienable rights, provide us with our freedom. So, you know, we have slightly different definitions. They'll be used interchangeably in this broadcast this evening. But we don't seem to comprehend what freedom truly is, how freedom can benefit us, and we don't recognize when those freedoms are taken away. As a result, we accept what our officials tell us as what is good for us, even when those basic rights and freedoms are taken away from us, when they're eroded, and they've been eroding over the years, and this is nothing new. In fact, the first big leap was actually done by President Lincoln in trying to federalize the nation, rather than it being a sort of a confederation of states with a central government organizing things and providing for the common defense as the Constitution provided. But he wanted to really have a strong federal government, and he wanted to diminish the rights of the states. We're not going to get into that history right now, but it started way, way back. There have been presidents way, way back that have upheld the Constitution and abated all of this that's going on right now. But for the most part, most of them have taken on more and more power, slowly but surely. You know, it's that old example, analogy rather, of placing a frog in warm water. He's just happy as a clam. And then you just, you know, warm water in a pot, that is. And then you just turn up the heat very, very, very slightly. And the frog is still okay until it gets to a point where the frog is boiled. He's cooked. Well, that's exactly how governments work, is that they don't come to you one day and say, oh, by the way, we're trashing the Constitution. You have no more rights. They pick at it very, very, very slowly. Obviously, if you took a frog and you threw it in boiling water, he'd leap out immediately. And you see, and we would do the same thing. We would revolt. We would, you know, ask for a change of government, and we would all become radicals overnight. I should say radicals. We'd be, yeah, radicals as far as the government is concerned, but revolutionaries overnight. This is a problem because it's been eroded. Many of the people, many of the young people today, just assume that this is the way freedom's supposed to work. It's not supposed to work this way. The word is not getting out, although there are many institutions who are advertising, I shouldn't say advertising, you know, who are carrying the banner regarding freedom. And there's the Cato Institute, there's the American Institute of Economic Research, there is the Future Freedom Foundation, there's the Foundation for Economic Education, and the list goes on and on and on. But we don't read today. We don't sit down and read this stuff. It's heavy-duty stuff. But once we start reading it, we realize that we've really missed the boat. And that if we don't understand this, you know, we will become victims of this diabolical plot. You know, I sound like a conspiracy nut, you know, but by large governments, and our government included, to slowly erode our freedoms. Now, and if you just hold on one second, I want to see where we are here. And here we are. Okay. I'm sorry, but I have to look at so many of these new dials that I'm not accustomed to. I need to get another screen, and I have to get another person here in the studio to watch some of the stuff for me, because I can no longer handle it. It's too much. Anyway, let me give you an example. Just today, I went out to lunch, my wife and I, with friends of ours. Wonderful people. And I guess politically, you would consider them, categorize them as progressives. In other words, they are socially responsible. And I have a real problem with progressives, probably more so than any other group, because progressives are nice people really thinking they're doing the right thing when they're incredibly dangerous. And let me explain what happened. And this is such a beautiful segue to our conversation regarding liberty. And it's almost as if it was set up for me today. And I was very lucky she opened her mouth. She said, well, did you hear, the gal said, the wife, did you hear that in England, the government may be passing legislation banning hoods, you know, that like we have a sweatshirt has a hood on it, banning hoods, wearing hoods in public. And the reason why she brought that up is because her husband, and we had been on a bike ride, so a motorbike ride, so we have these motor scooters anyway, we're biking around, went to lunch, and he had this sweatshirt on with a hood. And, you know, he had put it up joking around. And she said, oh, that reminded me. She told me the story. I said, well, no, I had not heard that. And I said, well, for what purpose do they wear a hood, you know? And she says, well, because, you know, they have cameras on the streets which monitor, you know, the goings on. And, you know, should a crime occur, they'll have the crime on film. So what these guys do is that they wear sweatshirts with hoods so they can't be identified. And what they're doing is they're actually robbing people, and they're taking, for example, their cell phones. It's a hot item. They just bunk into them, you know, rough them up a little bit, take their cell phone, a little money, and they leave. Nothing really big, but, you know, no one gets killed or anything like that. But apparently this is getting out of hand. Now, you say, well, what does this have to do with liberty? And I said, well, I've said to myself, this is a perfect segue. I said, you know, that is absolutely wonderful. I said, now what we have is we have people, we had, first of all, the liberties of the population were eroded when they put monitors on every street corner watching their every movement. Now, doesn't that smack of George Orwell 1984? That should scare the heck out of us. In fact, here in the good old United States, we have considered that in certain of our large cities as well, and it's being given serious consideration. I think this is insane. Can you imagine walking down the block, and it's, but let me say, it's for your own protection. So here's the logic. That good thing they had those cameras, you know, but now if they could only ban the hoods, then these hoods, they call them hoods, by the way, and that's a term that we use here in the United States to describe, you know, people who perform illegal acts, hoods, you know. Anyway, these guys that they call hoods, you know, from perpetrating these crimes. And I thought to myself, geez, so first we erodes people's liberties by monitoring their every movement. The second thing we do is we erode their liberty by telling them what they can and cannot wear, right? And if you happen to own a sweatshirt with a hood, you're out of luck. The government's not going to provide you with some sort of remuneration for that, for not wearing it, right? And she said, well, what's the answer? Well, I said, well, the answer was in the very, very first part of that erosion, and that is that the citizens of England are not permitted to defend themselves. So what do you mean? Well, if they were permitted to carry concealed weapons, or carry a weapon, doesn't have to be concealed, but if they were given the right to carry their weapon, right, these hoods would think twice about bumping into somebody and asking them for their cell phone or their wallet. So, see, the people themselves are rendered vulnerable to hoods because they're not permitted to have anything like that. Now, the hoods may, I mean, they're not obeying the law. They're not, you know, their job is not to obey the law. So there they are. And so we take away the rights of the individual for their own protection, right? Which means we put in cameras for their own protection, and now we're going to tell them what not to wear for their own protection. And yet, she didn't see anything wrong with that. She said, well, you can't have people going around just and not having these rules and regulations. She says, I know you're libertarian and you don't want any rules and regulations, people going around and killing each other. I said, well, you know, I guess there is a regulation that I cannot kill anyone. But what if just we heard now on the TV that's in the bar that says that this regulation that, you know, it's there's no more regulation not to kill anyone, you know, not to kill anyone. That regulation is off the books. Would I immediately get up and would I start stabbing everyone here in the restaurant? Would I act any differently than I am now? Well, the answer is no. You know, we have this perception, this concept that the only way, the socially conscious way to good government is to have a government with regulations that protect us. And all we are saying is that, as libertarians, is no. First of all, government cannot protect us. You know who protects me? Me. You know who protects my family? Me. Now, yes, there should be a police force in case there is a crime committed. There should be someone to come on the scene to investigate the crime and then track the guy down, the criminal down. I say guy, it could be girl, right? But track the criminal down. Now, they say, well, you know, but the policeman is supposed to try to stop crime in the first place. Yeah, if they're present, they may, you know, thwart crime a little bit. But just think about it. The police department do not stop crime, do not prevent crime, rather. Because if they were charged with preventing crime, every time a crime was committed, you would have a case against the police department, probably sue them, for not doing their job. Well, you know, that's not going to work at all. You don't think the police department is going to say, well, you know, if we're found that way, we just won't, you know, I guess we'll be sued and I'll have to be taken to court and I'll be thrown in jail because I'm not doing my job. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. That's because the police are not there, you know, to stop the crime. They're only there to invest the crime after it happens. The only people who can protect themselves are the people themselves, right? But you can't take that right and liberty away. Now, here in the United States, our Constitution says we have the right to bear arms. And many states said, no, 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 we're going to override the common law of the land, and we're going to have jurisdictional law in this area saying that you can't do that. And we accept that as saying that's a socially conscious area. Those people must be really good people versus the people who live in other areas who allow people to carry guns. And it's really interesting that the states and the cities that prohibit gun ownership or don't have concealed carry permits, and you shouldn't even have to have a concealed carry permit. Anyone should have to allow you to carry a gun. You should wear a gun whenever you want, concealed or otherwise. Now, I'm not suggesting we go back to the Wild West or anything like that, but I am suggesting that we don't need the government to tell us that we need to protect ourselves, and we don't need the government licensing us to protect ourselves. The Constitution says, I have the right to bear arms, I can bear arms. Period. Case closed. Finished. Finith. Over. Now, there are states that say you can't do that. And isn't it strange that those states have the highest crime rates? I mean, it's interesting. You go to the highest crime rates, anywhere crime is high, you'll find that, you know, guns are illegal. You go to places where guns, there are places, there are towns where guns are mandatory. You know, no crime. Interesting, right? Well, I don't want to get on the gun issue. I don't want to get on, you know, I really meant to get on the rights, the subject of the concept of liberty. And how the perception of liberty is that government provides, we allow the government to provide more control over our lives, thus we are free people. It doesn't work that way, folks. I mean, that's the way a monarchy works. That's the way, and that's how today, and most presidents, and presidents for decades, have been writing executive orders. That's the same thing that the monarchs did in Europe. They wrote basically executive orders, and that was the law of the land, you know? The people had nothing to say about it. And that's exactly what's happening today. And each one of those executive orders, I can guarantee you, don't give you more rights, but detract from your rights. It happens every time. And, you know, unfortunately, it happens almost every day. Now, let me give you another concept. Now, I don't want to call these issues, but concept. You know, we've talked about this before. Gay marriage. You know, where is it written in stone that we need the government to bless a marriage? You know, if you belong to a church congregation and that church requires that you want to be married and you want to belong to this particular denomination, you must get married in that church with this type of ceremony, that's fine. That is your religious belief, and you follow that. Now, if you don't follow that, then you're shunted. You're out. You know, you have to join some other organization. And yet, we restrict people's rights when we say a man must marry a woman. Says who? Why can't anybody live with one another? Why can't any two people, even if it's asexual, why can't they live together and say, we want to live together as a couple? Even if there's no sex involved. We want to live together as a couple and live together, cohabitate together, you know, because this is what we wish to do. We're going to share everything just like a regular married couple would do. And we may even adopt children and raise them, just like a regular heterosexual couple would do. Now, there's no law against that. In fact, that is our right. It's our right in the Constitution to our pursuit of happiness. And if that makes you happy, go, girl, go. Go, guy, go. I mean, this is it. That's freedom. Now, you may object to two girls living together, two women living together, rather, or two men living together. And I guess that's natural, because we're not accustomed to that. But you nor I have the right to take their rights right away to live that way. Again, we may not like it, but whether we like it or not is not a test of freedom. We should be able to accept everyone's lifestyle, because in the United States, it's our pursuit of happiness. It's not the pursuit of happiness with an asterisk that says, provided it's licensed by the government, approved by the government, and also accepted by a majority of the population. Now, if it said that, I say, okay, that's what the Constitution says. It doesn't say that. In our Bill of Rights, we have the right to pursue happiness. And if it means I want to be a ditch digger, I'll be a ditch digger. If I want to be a brain surgeon, I'll be a brain surgeon. I mean, I'll try to if I can. But see, we've lost that. Why is there any debate at all in Congress regarding gay marriage? There are somewhere about 5 million couples in the United States, and I saw that figure. I'll bet there's a lot more that just cohabitate today. And under common law, they would be considered marriage. They have no marriage license. They circumvented the entire system. Fine. I mean, why do they have to go to a city to determine whether or not, I mean, not for a license, to get married, to cohabitate? I mean, where does the government get its expertise to know whether or not I want to cohabitate? Again, when I say cohabitate, I'm just saying cohabitate, period. I'm not talking about anything else. And I want to share my life with another individual. You know what? It may be another individual that I'm not in love with, I just like, and we're going to cohabitate, period. And it may be a totally asexual arrangement. I mean, that is possible. It's very unlikely, but it's possible. So why should the state, where does the state get its where does it get its authority, you know, and its knowledge to know what's good for me? When this is a country of, for, and by the people, we are the government, and then we have to go to the government to say, could I marry that person? This is when we relinquish our rights. What I'm trying to get across here on this program is not so much talking about the issues, but talking about the concept of liberty that we do not understand. You know, it's been ever since St. Valentine back in 270 AD, governments have been confounded with this concept of marriage. And the reason why they've been confounded for the past 1,800 years on this concept of marriage is because it doesn't belong in the government. It's the proverbial square peg in the round hole. It doesn't belong there. We have been trying to manipulate people through a matrimonial bureaucracy. And those words came from Reason Magazine, February 14th, 2005. I love that. It said, for millennia, state entities have manipulated the people through matrimonial bureaucracy. And it says here about the United States, shouldn't the nation that pioneered a popular government of the people, by the people, and for the people be the one that finally stands to assert the pre-governmental primacy of matrimonial privacy? I again, I don't want to make this an issue. I just want to say that's just one issue. It's a concept. And we are always looking to the government to take our rights away, to restrict our rights. Now, here's another interesting thing, is that, you know, this country grew fascist when there was absolutely no government regulation. And that was 150 years worth. It slowed down considerably once the regulation started, and we had a depression and a few good whoppers in between. Here's something that I heard John Stossel say. This is interesting. The NASDAQ, or the stock exchange, counts billions of transactions every day. Billions! And they get it right, just about to the penny every day. And we can't count votes in Florida. Isn't that interesting? Our tax code, which is meant to restrict our rights and our rights and our freedom, because it takes our money away. The explanations, with explanations, is over 50,000 pages long. Now, when are we as a people going to say, this ain't right? We better start doing that, ladies and gentlemen, because if we don't, we'll lose whatever we have left, and it ain't much. Okay? I've just noticed that we have a 30-minute time slot on Blog Talk Radio, or we get shut off. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to end our broadcast on that note. I'd like to continue talking about the concept of liberty on our Thursday morning broadcast. That'll be Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m., between 6:30 and 7. All right. And again, you can call into our number at 903-551-2186. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. And if you happen to be on your computer, you know, you can go to our website at libertytalkradio.com or our blog website, which is blogtalkradio.com/libertytalkradio.com. So now we have two platforms. Okay, and with that, I'm going to play our bumper song. And this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. Please direct your comments and questions to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned. Good night.